Some of the best ministry I've ever done in my life has been at this company. We're not asking anybody for their donation dollars to help this people. We're building a great product that the market wants and needs. And because we've done that, we get to help this people group. Where his life actually started to turn around wasn't because someone nice helped serve him soup that one day they volunteered, but it was more that someone saw him as a child of God, worthy of the dignity of work, and recognized that mistakes do happen, but he has paid his debt to society, and what he needs now is the opportunity to work and support his family.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining us on the podcast here. Normally we don't tell life stories, but we're going to have to give some context here for folks who don't know you. So in a nutshell, tell everybody what on earth you have going on, because it's pretty cool.
So my name is Scott Gates. I'm a co-founder and CEO of Awake Window and Door, which is a five-year-old company that's building really high-end luxury window and door products for some of the coolest homes all throughout the Southwest, well, really all throughout the United States. And that, while it's super fun and exciting to get to see these really incredible projects, I think what makes us a touch more unique is not actually the products we build, it's who builds them. And I think one of my favorite things, and I think biggest success stories of our company, is that it started with a mission in mind, a God, Christ-led mission, that we felt really compelled to build a business focused on second chance employment for people who have been formerly incarcerated. So here we are 5 years later, the business is growing like crazy. We're up to 30 million in sales, but we really feel like what makes us special is this mission that God laid on our heart.
Yeah. And so for folks who are listening, look, just go in the comment section below here. We're going to link to a little bit more of this story, but Scott makes some windows for some really nice homes. First of all, I just want to point that out. Having just built a pretty nice home, you've probably seen that. If you follow me, you know the channel. But what was so fascinating to me about Scott Stern, why I wanted to talk to him on the podcast, is this idea of second chance employment, right? And mission particularly. And it's funny that you mentioned that word, because my son and I were literally just talking about this yesterday, how important it is for us as believers, and especially if we think we want to be kingdom entrepreneurs, to not just think like the world, where can I make the most money? Because that's the culture's system, right? Go make as much money as possible, as fast as possible, doing as little as possible. But what you're living out, and what we're talking about today, is actually, no, what if we chase the mission first, whatever that is, and it's different for each one of us because God has made us unique, and then where does that mission take us? And I do believe, especially in the business realm, if we're following God and we're following his guidance and we're executing well, which is also really important, the money follows in the background. You're doing $30 million in revenue. Like, that's a real business, folks. Like, for a small business, that's real revenue coming in. I know, you know, you watch these Fortune 500 companies and you think those numbers don't sound so big, but it's a lot of hard work to get to that kind of a number for a small business, let me tell you. And so, Scott, I think the first thing that's coming to my mind, what made you think that was the mission? Because your previous life, you were CEO, I think, of a window company that was very large, very successful, and eventually got bought out. So you know this business, you know this industry, you're doing this already. You absolutely could have just turned around and said, I'm just going to go kill it on my own. But instead, you gave yourself the additional challenge of not just starting a new business and growing something, but the additional challenge of doing it with people who maybe need a little bit more help and training than you might hope for and expect. So how did that happen? How did God get a hold of you, communicate this to you to the point where you felt confident enough to say, yeah, I think God's in this, and this is what we're doing, and this is where we're heading? Because I'm fascinated. I know my listeners are interested too.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's what makes me excited to do a podcast like yours, Mike. It's like, you never know when the Holy Spirit is going to tap you on the shoulder and tell you, this is who I am laying on your heart and is who I want you to bless. And for me, this would, if I went back to around 2019, I was at a Christian leadership summit. It's called the Willow Creek Leadership Summit. I've been there many times. Yeah. Always great speakers, great ideas. They're talking about how to lead and grow your companies or churches. And it was just one of these video segments where it was another business owner, an entrepreneur in the Midwest. He was having difficulty finding access to labor for his company. And he was making like lawnmower tractors, and had this idea to go into a local prison. And, you know, when you think about prison labor, sometimes you think about exploitation and low cost. And this story that they told at this conference was the exact opposite of that. It was kingdom oriented, glorifying. It was really trying to help people who were in prison still make a meaningful wage so that they could support their family members back home. And of all the things I saw over that 2-day conference, this was the thing that I remember. My heart was beating faster. I was moved to tears at one of the stories that they told at the end about two individuals that had worked for this entrepreneur in the prison. And when they got out, he helped them become entrepreneurs themselves and set up their own businesses to be successful when they exited. And it was one of these moments where I was like, wow, like I never think about people in prison and their extended families that are like missing them. I'm thinking these are bad guys who have made mistakes and they're being punished, not thinking about the way their families are getting punished because they can't support them, or the dignity that they lose when they can't work for a living. And it's just like all these things that that story laid on my heart. And I just remember like going home and talking to my wife, and I was like, this is just so cool. And she was like, well, hey, I want to tell you about, like, I've been reading a lot around challenges with our justice system. And the more you read about it, the more you're going to realize just how kind of broken the system is. And not only are we locking up almost too much and too many people for too long, but when they get out of prison, we're kind of burdening them with this label that leads to a lifetime of discrimination, and they're not able to be successful. And that was really kind of the starting point of a journey for me that I really felt like was just one of those moments where I did not anticipate that. I've never been incarcerated. I don't even have any family members who have been incarcerated, but I just was in the right place at the right time, and God laid something on my heart. And the journey that I went on after that was one that really became foundational for what I wanted my life to be about.
So you heard a call from there. I'm gonna guess there was still a little bit of wrestling,
Yes.
because it's that tension of is this a good idea, you know, to be cliche, is it a God idea, right? I also think it's interesting that you were in an environment surrounded by other kingdom entrepreneurs. Like, you'd placed yourself in the right environment for God to be able to communicate. Like, if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, I'm looking for an idea, I'm trying to figure out what God wants me to do, maybe there's some wisdom there. You know, don't do this alone. Don't just sit in your bedroom. Go get yourself around other Christian entrepreneurs. Get yourself in a room full of faith. Get yourself around other people's stories that have gone out and done some really cool things for Jesus. Maybe that's where you might get something from God too, because there's something around that atmosphere that softens your heart to be able to hear. It just opens your mind to be able to receive a little bit more. That's certainly what I'm getting as I'm listening to you, Scott. But then what was that next phase like? Thinking about, like, is this really God? You know, am I supposed to do this? Like, I don't, like, just like you said, you've never been incarcerated. Like, none of your family have been incarcerated. It's funny, we were talking off the mic about, you know, years ago, my wife and I first went to Nashville. We were working with Teen Challenge, which is a substance rehabilitation program. And I felt the same way. I've never been on drugs. None of my family ever been on drugs. Like, I didn't know anybody who'd been on drugs. And I'm in a drug rehabilitation program helping people that have been on drugs. Like, am I in the right place? You know? So yeah, tell us, like, how did you get from there to that definite comfort that, yes, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
That's a great question, and I think you're totally right that if we put ourselves in environments where like kingdom-oriented people are coming up with creative ideas, it helps leave space for God to speak to us and for that to kind of help guide our path, right? And so I remember I left that conference, and at this time I was still the CEO of my previous company, and it was about 450 employees. It had grown really large. We had just been acquired. But then this thing was like sitting, I would think about it every day, right? And then as I would read more and listen to more podcasts, it was really one of those things where it's like sometimes you're made aware of a challenge that a people group is facing, and the more you allow yourself to empathetically experience or learn what they're going through, the more your heart gets broken for it, right? And I was finding the more I read about this or listened or educated myself, the more I was like, I can't look away. And I remember starting to feel like I'm kind of a deep thinker, and I'm an int
Right.
I tend to be introspective, and like things that I do to myself is sometimes I'll be like, man, if I had been alive in the 1960s
Right.
and the US was struggling with some civil rights issues, and we have like MLK Day now, and we all
Yeah.
say, oh, I would have been on his side. Would I have been on his
Right.
side? Would
Right.
I have found space in my life to fight for things that actually were the right thing? And then I just began to feel like I'm someday gonna, be having Thanksgiving dinner with hopefully my socially ambitious, God-loving grandchildren who say, hey, grandpa, like, why did your generation lock up all these people and then not let them have jobs? And like, what did you do about it? Because this seems really bad now, looking back in hindsight. And it just became so obvious to me that, like, I can't let this issue slip by and pretend I don't see it, because God has laid it on my heart now. I am no longer asleep to the reality of what this means in our society. And so then the next part of the wrestling was, okay, I'm the CEO of this company. I feel God laying this mission on me. I'm struggling with how I could integrate that into a new ownership structure of a company that just acquired us. And that's where this new thought started to form in my mind of, well, maybe it's time for me to resign from my current job and think about doing something entrepreneurial where I'm not willing to try to pull this big mission into an existing culture. Instead, what if I create something brand new where this culture and this mission and this people group is the focus from the beginning? And that was a probably 6 to 10 month wrestling of how and what do I do? That was some of the hardest, most gut-wrenching, riskiest decisions of my life. But I'm telling you, some of the challenge of resigning from a great job and starting a new company, the confidence it takes to do that when you
Yep.
feel like you're connected to what God is asking for you, your confidence level goes through the roof.
Yeah. No, it's so good. And so again, like just recapping as we're going through this process. So you heard this nudge, but your response to that was, I'm going to research more and I'm going to look into this more. So it wasn't a knee jerk. I mean, there's a time period here where you're digging in. And again, I think for folks listening, especially for younger folks, patience is a hard one, but it's so critical that you were thinking, you were using logic, you were using reason, you were using all that. Like God gave us free will, right? That's exactly what you were doing. Hey, should I be doing this? What would that look like? How's this going to affect these people? What do I need to be thinking about if we're gonna try and do it? I think what's so fascinating about you, and I think what shows just such giant faith, and it is faith because that's the whole point, is taking a step. Into the unknown is you actually leaving an existing structure, thinking, I'm going to go start a new structure from scratch and somehow figure out how to do it differently to incorporate this different skill set, that we're going to be inheriting, right? Folks coming out of the federal prison system and or the state prison system and finding a way to give them dignity. Which is important, because this is how we help people, folks. Like we don't help them with handouts. We help them through this exchange of dignity. Hey, your life can be better through Jesus and through work, because God made work, and work is good because He said so in Genesis chapter one. That's why entrepreneurship is the answer to the world's problems. That's why we believe it. It's why we talk about it so much on the podcast. And so, Scott, you're going through this. You get to this point, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. You know what's really funny is I'm listening to you talk. I did an episode a few years ago with a hero of mine. I read his story decades ago. He was a young guy and he went to visit New York, and he was in Bushwick, and he saw all these kids just running wild, you know, in the streets, nothing to do, you know, being a nuisance, whatever. And as he was standing there, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, it's a while since I read his book. And it's even, like I say, it was a few years since I talked to him. But as he's standing there, he thought to himself, who's going to come and help these kids find out about Jesus? Because someone needs to do it. And it's literally like this moment where you look around and think, well, there's no one here. Okay, well, I guess I'll do it then. You know, and he talks about this, and his phrase is like, the need is the call. You don't need to wait to be asked. You don't need to wait for permission. You see a need, well, if you can figure it out, like, go fix it. And so he did. So he quit his job in Arizona. He moves to Bushwick and starts what becomes the largest Sunday school movement in the world. You probably, I don't know if you've heard of Bill Wilson, Metro Ministries. Yeah. So 26, 28,000 kids would come to their Sunday school services on Saturdays, I think is actually when they did them. They would bus them in. They literally bought a fleet of school buses. They would go and get them, bring them in, take them home. And then in the week, they would go and visit the families. Every single family of a child that came to that Sunday school. Think about this. This is in like the 80s, 90s, 2000s. Every family who had a child that came to Sunday school got a visit from two Metro Ministries workers every single week to talk to them, to see how they could help them, to see how they could pray for them, see how they could support them. And it ran so long that those kids grew up. And many of them now serve in the same area. And it's a tough neighborhood, if you don't know. Like, people have tried to kill him multiple times, stabbed, shot, like, you name it. It wasn't an easy choice, but he saw a need and he figured, well, I think I could give it a go. So why not? And it sounds like that's you, you know?
And I think what I love about that is all of a sudden something's in your line of sight and you realize somebody's got to do something. And I think that's kind of what I started to feel. And I started to realize that, and this is something that I understand, that not everybody has the same mission or purpose, or sometimes doesn't always have the same heart for things. And when you're talking about people who have been incarcerated, there's sometimes a stigma and maybe a lot of fear that people that have lack of information, or that they don't want to be around people who have those types of records just because of a variety of reasons. And I started realizing, if I try to fit this mission into an existing structure that wasn't built for it, the structure might reject it.
Yeah.
But if I build the structure from the beginning for it to exist and to thrive, then if I'm hiring someone to come work alongside somebody who's been incarcerated or had been incarcerated, and we tell them about our mission and that mission doesn't resonate with them, well, then maybe we're not the right fit. But it's been amazing the type of talent that when you have a mission and you're trying to really educate the world on maybe what the challenges are that exist for this people group and the type of discrimination and biases that limit them from having success for themselves and their families. There are so many people, and I'm talking all matters of political ideology, religious background, that are just like, this is wrong and I like want to be a part of it. And as a result, the talent that our startup window and door company has been finding is not the type of talent that a niche industry like ours should be attracting, but it is because of the mission. And I think what I'm realizing, and I maybe didn't ever fully appreciate, is that people want to work. They want to feel like their work has meaning and that they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And especially people from our shared faith, they want to feel like that what they're doing is kingdom oriented and is blessing God. And everything in scripture points to this people group and shows that they are on God's heart, right? So the challenge then became, well, let's build a business model that exists to do that just for them. And that was the really fun part of my transition out of my old company and starting this new company. The mission was there and it was what kind of forced me, and it was actually harder to figure out the business model around the mission because the mission was a non-negotiable, because God had made it clear that it had to be that way.
Yeah. Hey, if you're enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? We're trying to make sure that the right people hear this and that we get the message out to people that will really benefit from this conversation around people, profit, and purpose. If you could share it maybe with a friend, or even take a couple of minutes and go leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you're listening to, that would mean the world to me. It would definitely help us out with the show, and it would help more people find us, and you would be amazing. So thanks so much, and let's dive back in. Yeah, but it's so good even just listening to you explain this through. Even with your experience, even with your background, even with the structure and stability already in place, which would have had a lot of benefits, it still made more sense because the heart was so different. You had to start again with the heart as the centerpiece. And I love this because I have a lot of conversations with people around kingdom business guys, right? And usually, the conversation is something like this: why do people have such a hard time making the shift in their mind that this business isn't about them, it was actually about kingdom first, and they come second? Because usually what happens is we start a business, we see some success, we buy a few toys and life gets good. And as long as I go to church on a Sunday and I write my little check, everything else is mine. And for some Christian entrepreneurs, that's as far as they get, and they miss out on the rest. For some, they get to that point and then they start to realize, hang on a second, it's actually about a whole lot more than this. It was really about him. But now they've got to shift it because they didn't start it and they didn't structure it that way to begin with. It was structured around them. And so now they've got to start shifting things and changing things to make Jesus the center, to make kingdom the center, to make impact the center, to make other people the center of who's benefiting out of this more than them, and then they take that second place, and usually people struggle with that. A lot of people fail with that because it's so different. And so it's really, really interesting to hear that instead of you trying to turn the big ship that already existed, it made more sense for you to say, no, actually, let's just start again. We'll just create it from the get-go the right way. And there's such wisdom there. And for those listening, like, really, really listen to this point because it's really crucial. That's the road less traveled. That's the narrow road. That's the hard road, to have to do it. Starting businesses is the hard part. Like, once it's going and growing, generally it's the easier part. Doing anything from scratch, yeah, you're taking the pain up front, but yet that was the right way to do it, the best way to do it, and that was apparently the blessed way to do it, right? Because God showed up.
Yeah, and I think, and honestly, in that vein, one of the things like my wife and I had talked about is, we grew up very heavily involved in our church. And when we thought of doing God's work, we thought of doing ministry, right? We would go on mission trips, right? We would volunteer in Sunday school and we would help lead Bible studies and all of the things that we think of. Okay, I go to my job, which occupies a huge chunk of my time, and then I do ministry and the roundabout overflow over the weekends. We kind of knew starting a company, like exactly like you said, this is going to be all consuming. And it was. There were a lot of long nights, a lot of like stretches where we felt like there was no time off because getting to that first dollar of revenue was almost impossible. But here's what I will say now in hindsight. Some of the best ministry I've ever done in my life has been at this company, right? And it may not be at this thing packaged as ministry, but the life change and seeing God work and seeing, really, really having the opportunity to love our neighbor and provide them the dignity of a good job, and all of the other things that we've allowed to organically develop outside of, okay, what does this mission actually mean on the day to day? Has truly been some of the best ministry I've ever done, and I didn't need a church to facilitate it for it to happen.
This is why I wanted to have you on the podcast, Scott, because you are living proof of all the concepts and things that I've said over and over and over again for years. Real ministry happens outside the walls of the organization that we call church. The marketplace is where God moves. The marketplace is where God reaches people. The marketplace is where God touches people. And as you are living proof, you know, and kudos to you and your wife for stepping up and doing this, but you are living proof. This is what we are called to be, folks. This is what we're called to do, to build companies that create jobs, that create opportunities, and give us the opportunity to pastor, minister to, and love on people. These are God's people. Everybody out here, God created everybody, right? God loves them all, whether they know him or not. This is the way we get proximity to them, and we can actually live that faith out in a very real, very down-to-earth way, and help them to see Jesus in a different way versus the organization and business of church that we've made on Sunday mornings. And let's face it, and I say this with all due respect, if that was the model and that was the answer, I mean, it would have worked by now, wouldn't it? But it's not. Like, the world's a mess. So something has to change.
I'll give you like a very real example, okay? So there's a guy on our team, phenomenal guy. It took him 400 job applications before he found our company. And I think he said it was approximately 20 times he got to the final interview stage, which means they liked him. The companies liked him.
Yeah.
But once they finally ran that reference check, he would be denied, right? Now, he talked about that time period of desperately working his tail off to get a job. He'd have to go to various soup kitchens to get meals. He'd have to, you know, rely on various nonprofits to help him with access to resources. And all of that was ministry. But you know what he really needed?
Yeah.
Was a job, right? Where his life actually started to turn around wasn't because someone nice helped serve him soup that one day they volunteered, but it was more that someone saw him as a child of God, worthy of the dignity of work, and recognized that mistakes do happen, but he has paid his debt to society. And what he needs now is the opportunity to work and support his family. And he has thrived here, right?
That's awesome.
And we have so many stories just like him. And I think that's one of the things that I love is, you know, we're not asking anybody for their donation dollars to help this people.
Yes.
We're building a great product that the market wants and needs. And because we've done that, we get to help this people group. And I just think that's a much more sustainable model than some of these other solutions.
Yeah. No, you're hitting all the key points here, Scott. You know, we wouldn't need the soup kitchens and the volunteers and any of that if he could have just got the job sooner. So not only are you self-sustainable because you're creating profit by creating value and delivering a product that people want, but we could have saved all of that time, energy, money that people had to give away if we could have just got him to you quicker, or if there were more people like you and more opportunities like this. And this is just one little microcosm. And there's so many different, you know, other people groups and other things that we can do to help. And you're dead right. Like, self-sustainability. We will not reach the world for Jesus on donations. It's not possible. There's not enough money for people to give away. We're going to have to create it. And the way we create it is through enterprise. It's through entrepreneurship. It's through reasonable, healthy profit by selling high quality products or even mediocre quality products at the right price and at a fair price, you know, and doing business the right way and treating people with respect. Our clients, the customer, you know, who's buying off us, not taking advantage of them, not taking advantage of our partners and our suppliers and our vendors. Like, this works when we treat everybody with dignity. And that's what doing business God's way is. That's what doing business the right way is. And those are the things that we talk about so much here on the show, because it's just so unusual to hear a story like this. Most of the time, we're doing it the same way the world's doing it. You know, I'm sticking a bumper sticker on the back and saying, oh yeah, but we're Christians. It's like, no, that doesn't change anything. You know, if it walks like a duck, smells like a duck, you know, and sounds like a duck, it's probably still a duck, you know, and you're not.
So I'll give you some examples because I think you're totally right. And I think that, you know, it's one thing to label yourself as a Christian businessman, and it's a whole nother thing to say, my business is on a mission, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, our product, we've worked really hard to do some very unique things that, you know, anytime you want to be successful in business, You have to find a niche and you have to serve that niche well and you have to deliver something to the market. But as we've had success, other businesses try to mimic what our products look like, right? Or like our services look like. But I cannot tell you when we present our product to the architectural community or builders, we always close with our mission. And we tell stories about our staff and we help connect the dots of what is actually happening. And I'm telling you, I don't care if this is the reddest of red state versus the bluest of blue state. It doesn't matter their politics. When they hear and see these stories, whatever features and benefits the competition's trying to do to emulate us or try to earn business, that mission is what shines through. And I cannot tell you how many times by inviting our customer base into it and helping them understand their role, people have told us, well, I am choosing your company because of this mission, right? And, it's important. I always want entrepreneurs to hear, like, you have to have a good business model for sure. That's like the burden of being an entrepreneur. But the mission, we try to find ways, like even strategically, to help bring our mission throughout the buying process with our products. So, like something as simple as, we have 8 or 9 different product lines. Well, what are we going to call those? Well, they can have descriptions. We gave them like a series number. It's very common in our industry. But we decided to do something. Okay, well, let's pick a number for each series that has an important meaning about this issue. So, as an example, our flagship product is our 905 series multi-slide door. And it doesn't even matter what a multi-slide door is. But the 905, what's interesting about it is it stands for 90% of kids who have 5 or more foster care placements end up in prison.
Why?
So sometimes when people hear that, they're like, are you serious? Because they think of foster care kids and they think, I'm so sad for those kids. That's a hard way to grow up. But when they think of someone in prison, they think, well, that's a bad person who made a bad decision and they're unsafe for me. And when you help connect the dots that no, that's the same person, then people start to go, oh, man, well, that kid had a really hard upbringing. I understand why maybe their life didn't go the same way. And all they want is a good job and the access to provide for their family. They absolutely deserve that, right? And finding little creative ways to pull and weave the mission into the experience with the customer has been so rewarding because people tell us constantly, I didn't know this was the case. I absolutely love what this was doing. And that's been equally rewarding is, seeing the life change of our staff, but then also seeing the eye-opening, kingdom-oriented thinking that we've been able to bring into it with our customers too. And I think that's like the gospel in action.
It's so good. I'm curious. What are your retention rates like for employees? I've got to believe your retention is way higher than average.
It is. And I think that's, again, this is where that strategy side, okay, so it's like the heart is this is a moral issue. God has called us to it. Let's do the right thing. But the strategy side is we have a group of employees that are more loyal, more hardworking. And then one of our core values at our company is gratitude. I have never met a people group who embody that core value better than this staff. So we've got about 105 employees now, and 56% of them have a justice-involved background. And I'm telling you, if you were to talk to the 44% that don't, they will all tell you, I have never come to work in a happier environment, a positive, smiling, energetic, I am so grateful to be here type of energy in a workplace. And that is contagious and it makes everybody better, right? And then the other part that's not just retention, I had mentioned this a little bit earlier, but some of the team that have found us, especially our second chance team, are brilliant, highly educated people who got derailed by drugs or some mistakes in their past. And despite that education and qualification and intelligence and IQ, their options and the types of companies that will consider them have limited. Well, those companies' loss for their bias has been our gain because some of the talent that has found us just because word spread through the various nonprofits that helped us people group, various parole officers said, you got to go work at this company at Awake because they won't see you for what you did. They'll see you for your potential. And I cannot believe the talent that we've been able to get to work at a small, growing window and door company because that's no one's dream as their kid. And when they're a kid,
Right.
work for a window and door company, right? Even
Right.
getting out of college, that's not what they're thinking. But we find them because God laid this mission on our heart, and we exist for people like them, and they have made our company so much better.
And that's so good. It's so good. Scott, I'm proud of what you're doing. You're an inspiration. You really are. Like, you've nailed it. You've cracked the code, and you are living out the way that we're supposed to reach the world and touch the world as Kingdom Entrepreneurs. So I just want to say thank you. You know, on behalf of the folks you're helping, and thank you on behalf of the kingdom. Like, I'm genuinely just so excited to hear this, and dude, I can't wait till you hit 100 million. Let's see if we can get there next year, right?
Great goal. And I think we keep realizing the more we grow, the more people we get to hire. And how awesome is that? So, Mike, I really appreciate you telling our story. And I really appreciate you trying to help those of us like you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, realizing don't save ministry for the weekends. Bring it into the workplace. Let entrepreneurship change the world because that's the most sustainable thing that can. And I love that you're trying to spread that message, man.
No, appreciate you making some time today and hanging out with us. Scott, if folks want to find out more about you, or hear a little bit more about your story, what's the best place for them to go?
Yeah. So if you were to visit our website, which is awakewdc.com, and WDC is Window and Door Company. So awakewdc.com. There's a lot of cool photos about our products, some of the most amazing homes that you'll ever see. It's like watching lifestyles of the rich and famous. It's just so amazing the quality of these homes. So that's fun and exciting to look at. But if you navigate over to our mission page, there's a lot of detail around this hiring model, why it works. There's some great resources, good books to read. I always like to tell entrepreneurs, if you can do and find something missionally that breaks your heart, but also wakens your mind to the strategy, something that is good and morally right, but also smart strategically, there is a lot of power of those two things coming together, and you can really run with that. And that mission page of our website tries to help connect the dots on those two things. So that's a great resource. And of course, our social media handles are all very similar, WDC. A lot of cool videos, interviews with our staff. It's a great way to take someone from, oh, that's a felon, to, oh, no, that is a person named Jessica who is brilliant and just needed someone to give her an opportunity and has actively made our company better every day since she started here. Right. It's a big difference.
You probably realize by now, but Scott has started an incredible company out in the Phoenix, Arizona area. If you're not familiar with him, links are down below, so you can go check out Awake Window and Door Company. I only recently met Scott, so he's a new friend to me. But what he is doing, I cannot stress enough. This is the future of impact work and mission work, fusing business with impact. Creating profit and using that profit to fund the work that we need to do to help change people's lives permanently through an exchange of dignity and to give them hope for a future that isn't some pipe dream of let me pray for you, but it's real and it's tangible because they are working and building their life in a way that they couldn't have before. So again, I just want to lift my hat and tip it to Scott. So proud of you, buddy, for what you're doing. So challenge to do better myself. And if you were listening to today's episode and you feel the same way, take a minute, use one of those links, go say hi to Scott, connect with him online, and just tell him what an awesome guy he is. But That said, let's talk about three takeaways from the episode today that you don't want to forget. Number one, mission first, money second. Mission first, money second. Mission first, money second. Scott built a $30 million company in just a handful of years by chasing the mission first that God put on his heart, giving second chances to people through employment. The money followed, but the mission came first. When you get that the wrong way around, you're going nowhere fast. Take it from me. Second takeaway, the workplace can be your greatest ministry. Actually, I think I'd go even further and say the workplace will be your greatest ministry. Real transformation doesn't happen on Sundays. Scott reminded us that he created jobs that restored dignity, that showed people they mattered, and that's some of the most powerful ministry that we can do, and he did it Monday through Friday. Takeaway number three, business is discipleship in action. He weaved his mission into every detail, from the way he hires to how he names his products. A Weight, Window, and Door company proves that entrepreneurship is kingdom work. It will reshape lives, and it can reshape culture if we do it right. I hope his story is inspired. It's one of the best conversations that I've had. Share this episode with other entrepreneurs and people that love business, because you know they're going to enjoy it as well. Make sure you've hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, so you don't miss out on what's coming next, because we're working hard to deliver real value through these conversations to you, our podcast friends and listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Mike Thacker Podcast. Let's keep building businesses that serve people, that honor God, and that change the world, because that's what it's all about. Till next time.